Revelation 17 will talk about a great end-time mystery Babylon. This no doubt will be a religious system, a false, corrupted religious system. We are, as believers, the church universal around the world, the bride of Christ. The fake Antichrist will have the prostitute of the Antichrist. And they're directly contradiction to each other, contrasted to each other. The bride of Christ is pure and will co-rule with Christ. The harlot of the Antichrist is a corrupted religion that will give him power, and then he will kill it. So please turn to Revelation 17, which will talk about a false religion. I could say a false church, but I'm not so sure it's only people that call themselves churches. It's a false world religion of all kinds. And Revelation 18 will talk about Babylon again, but that Babylon there is kind of a economic system, a commercial system, a business system. So we have a mystery Babylon in Revelation 17, which is like a worship or religious system. And then we have Babylon in Revelation 18, which is like a economic system. So one question that will arise is mystery Babylon a figurative use of the word Babylon, or will the Middle East actually rebuild Babylon? Well, we'll get to that, but it does say mystery Babylon, so that makes question mark. It does say it's a city. A Babylon in 1 Peter 5:13 does refer to Rome. I think it's very strong that it does there, because Peter says he's writing from Babylon, and Mark is with him, and in 1 Peter 5:13, Peter was in Rome, and Mark was with him, and he calls it Babylon, probably to be safe, because he was in jail. So will that be the same when we get to Revelation 17? Are they going to be a figurative or a mystery Babylon? It's a rebuilt Roman religious system. Or will they actually rebuild the city of Babylon in the Middle East? We'll talk about that a little bit, although I'd like to say a couple things. Number one, it's not the most important where the headquarters is. A false end-time religion is coming. Whether one takes Babylon as a rebuilt city of Babylon, whether it takes Babylon as a mystery Babylon or Rome, both would be true that a false end-time corrupt religion is coming. And we're getting ready to read, but I would like to share an experience I had at a pastor's conference in Dallas, where the whole sermon was on Babylon. I agreed with the conclusion, but I wondered if it was enough. I agree that once the rapture takes place and all the Christians are gone, the whole religious system of the world will be corrupt. And I kind of agree that a lot of the Catholic system will be corrupt. I think some Catholics are believers, and at the rapture they will go up, but those that are in churchianity, shall we say, will remain. And I agree with that. No doubt, part of the corruption of the end time will be the unsaved religious system of the Catholics. And Martin Luther liked to call the great end time whore the Catholics. That's very common in Protestant circles. Yet, I also thought that when the rapture takes place, all of the unsaved Lutherans will remain, all the unsaved Episcopalians will remain, all the unsaved non-denominational people will remain, all of the unsaved Baptists will remain, and there will be all kinds of unsaved churches that will remain. and also the world of religions. So I wasn't quite sure that we shouldn't say all of that, that the end time corrupt religion will be lots in the Catholic Church, but lots in the other churches that are never really believers. The other thing I thought about the lecture, and I would do this if I were giving it, I agree that once the rapture happens, there'll be a lot of churchy people of all denominations. But I think it ought to be said we're not in the tribulation yet. I didn't hear any talk about that. We're not in the tribulation yet. So what we should do is try to give the gospel to church members of other churches that are unsaved. We should make friends of whatever denomination they are and make sure they trust in Jesus as Savior and not just preach a sermon that they're bad. Well, you know, we can bounce it off and say that. The end time religious system will be bad, but we're not in the end time yet. So all of these co-workers and friends and neighbors, make sure we tell them to trust in Jesus as Savior, whatever church they end up in. Now, one could do better, but make sure you do that. What felt really weird to me is I heard an hour-long sermon attacking the Catholics, and all the previous year I had tried to witness the Catholics. We sent Jesus in history to every bishop, archbishop, and cardinal in the United States. Every last one of them. 50 of them wrote back. I do not know whether they are saved, but if they read about Jesus in history and how he did miracles and rose from the dead, that was our effort to try to get them to trust in Jesus. So the whole lecture, I thought, well, maybe I agree with you that once the rapture takes place, there'll be lots of unsaved Catholics, but there'll be lots of unsaved Protestants, and we're not in the tribulation yet. So somewhere in the lecture, make sure we try to make friends out of Catholics and people in other churches. And if we're not sure they're saved, give them the gospel. We're not in the end times yet. Even though it's true in the end times, it'll be all corrupted. With that, let's read about the future end times. Let's read Revelation 17 in the first seven verses. We'll read verses 1-7. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here, and I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality, and those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of immorality. And he, the angel, carried me, Apostle John, away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and ten horns." That is, the beast did. "The woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a gold cup full of abominations and of unclean things of her immorality. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered greatly. And the angel said to me, Why do you wonder? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has seven heads and ten horns." There will be more information we read again. "One of the seven angels who had poured out the bowls of God's wrath spoke to the Apostle John. And John would see another vision. And John saw the vision of a great harlot, we probably would say prostitute. She will be involved with the kings. So you have a prostitution with the kings, which we'll explain in a moment. Religious prostitution, a prostituted religious system that overlaps with politics in the end time and in the future. We, as believers in Christ, are part of the bride of Christ. Here in the end times, the political system will be the Antichrist with these other rulers. back in chapter 13, the red dragon Satan caused the beast to rise. Same description of that end time beast, 7 heads and 10 horns. And we'll save 7 heads and 10 horns for a moment with more reading. But the Apostle John saw this beast, but a religious prostitute riding it. It doesn't use the word parade, but I kind of like that idea. Just prancing around, riding, getting attention. Evil end time rulers, a mixture, the way Americans would say it is church and state, a mixture. Well, we might get a little bit broader and say religion and state put together, all getting attention. Verse 6, she will kill the tribulation of saints. Of course, after the church is gone, this world will start with 100% unbelievers, but some will trust in Jesus. They are the tribulation of saints. Then there will be persecution of them, both by religion and state merged together. Also much anti-Semitism. Remember chapter 12, where the woman who gave birth to the Messiah was being persecuted, and we would say Mother Israel will be persecuted. So verses 1 through 7 don't really say for sure that the harlot is a prostitute religion. The harlot is a good word picture, a good illustration of prostitute religion. And many Bible verses previously and in other books other than Revelation talk about an end-time prostitute religion. The prostitute religion will make all of the earth dwellers, not the tribulational saints, but the earth dwellers worship this beast. There will be lots of black magic in Revelation 13 and coming as we read here, where the black magic will tell everybody to worship the end-time tyrant. That's why we picked Exodus for kind of an odd scripture reading. The Satan worshipers in Moses' day were able to do some of the tricks. They could turn the rod into a snake also, but then Aaron's snake from God ate up them. So God's magic is more powerful, but black magic and evil magic can do some magic. I believe now they are restrained, 2 Thessalonians 2. But when the restraint is removed, there will be lots of black magic, lots of deceiving miracles to convince people to worship the Antichrist. If they refuse to worship the Antichrist, they will be banned from the economy. That's Revelation 13. And here, the harlot riding the beast is promoting this false religion. Church and state, politics and religion will work together. They both will kill the minority of the tribulational saints. Back in the book of Daniel, it talked about the Antichrist in chapter 11, verse 31. He will show no regard for the God of his fathers or the desire of women. The desire of women probably means the Messiah. Because in Daniel's day, all of the married women wanted to be the mother to the Messiah when Daniel wrote these words. But the end time Antichrist will show no regard for the God of the Bible and no regard for the Messiah. He will promote a false religion so that he gets attention, he gets worship. Quoting Daniel 9:27 and 12:11, Jesus talked about the abomination that makes desolate. He warned, do not believe in the tribulation period about those that say they are the Christ. They are false Christ. He also mentioned the signs that if possible it would deceive the very elect. Matthew 24, Mark 13. 2 Thessalonians 2 again, the man of sin will sit in the temple, claiming that he is God and demanding worship. So verses 1 through 7 here don't directly say that the harlot represents a corrupted religion, but there's plenty of that prediction of a corrupted religion before this in chapter 13 and in the other books that I just mentioned. The harlot is a figure of speech of a prostituted religion, and it will try to get everyone at that time to worship the Antichrist, the beast. When the imagery comes out in verse 1, she is sitting on the beast, but sits on many waters. If we look ahead to verse 15, it will define waters for us. Revelation 17:15, where he starts to get the answers, what are the waters? He said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. The Revelation view of the world is that it's just in turmoil and waves and agitated. It never calms down. It never is peaceful. It's just waving and rocking around. And here comes the false religion, the false political ruler riding over a great parade of agitated peoples, upset peoples, mad peoples, worried peoples. And if you worship him, he'll make everything okay. He'll protect us. The true church at this time will have been raptured and taken up. There will be some believers after that that trust in Jesus after we're gone. There'll be two witnesses, probably Moses and Elijah. There'll be even an angel in heaven, chapter 14, maybe 144,000. But they will not worship the beast, but the earth dwellers, that's a technical term in Revelation, the earth dwellers, all the people that are not believers, they will, to every last one of them, worship the beast. It's not like there will be all kinds of false religions. There will be one kind of false religion. Either be saved and be a tribulational saint, or be unsaved and part of the massive evil religion where church and state will be together. So the main point here is that the end time, religion and politics will be mingled. There'll be one world dictator and one world of religion. That's a little bit different than the other topics, but let me talk about now. How's it going to go now? Well, not this bad. We're talking about the end time religion. Not this bad. What will it be now? And the answer is a mix, a conflict, successes and opposition, both. We do need to remember in Matthew 16, Jesus said he would build his church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. He said in Matthew 13 that this present age between his comings will be like a little seed. It will start out small, it will grow. So the true total corruption of Christianity is for the future, not for now. It will not become extinct now. He will build his church and nothing will stop it. And it will be a little seed. On the other hand, it is also true that Satan puts tares among the weeds, among the wheat. He puts weeds among the wheat and tares. And it becomes a mixture. Nothing will stop Christianity, but it will have opposition. And the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 3 said, in the last days, perilous times will come. Also in 2 Timothy 3, he said, evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. So prior to the rapture, in the church age, it will be a mix. Will the church fail? No. I will build my church. Will it grow worldwide overall? Yes. Not every region of the world. It's growing a lot now in Asia and China and India and Philippines and Taiwan and South Korea. It's growing a lot now in South America. It's growing a lot now in Africa. We're in a fight. Western civilization is a fight. Is it going to hold in here? Yeah. Nothing will stop it. Is it in a fight? Yeah. Will the liars get worse? Yeah. The liars will get worse. So evil men and impostors will, King James says it will wax worse. modern translation will proceed from bad to worse. So this total corruption we're reading about, not yet. Right now, a fight. Be ready for a fight. All the rest of our lives is a fight. Will Christianity fail? No. Will it have a fight? Yep. Are liars going to get worse? Yep, they're going to get worse. Not as bad as this. With all of that, can we work on the definition of Babylon? It does say mystery Babylon. Will Babylon be literal Babylon and the Middle East will become a religious and commercial power? Or is it a figure of speech referring to Rome? Let me say again, if we don't know the identity of the headquarters, the end time truth doesn't matter. It's going to be a fake religion in the end times, whatever city we pick for its headquarters. Since it says mystery Babylon, might it be a figure of Rome? Well, maybe. Might it be a rebuilt city in Iraq? Maybe. Could be either. I would say in the United States, our political capital is not the same as our economic capital, so they don't have to be the same. I do think that in the end times, the revived Antichrist empire will be from Rome. That is not the same thing as saying that the religious system has to be there or the economic system has to be there. We've got capital in Washington, D.C., and New York is the economic power, and they don't have to be the same city. I do think there'll be a revived Roman Empire, the political capital. I think that because of Daniel 9:23, when it says, the people of the prince who is coming will destroy the sanctuary, the temple, and the city. Daniel 9:26, who destroyed the temple and the city after the Messiah was cut off? Well, that would be the Romans. So I do think that the idea of a political revived Roman Empire is true. I have less of a stronger opinion about where the economic capital might be or the religious capital might be. I thought I would say, though, that the idea that Babylon will be rebuilt literally didn't just start with the Iraq War. It goes earlier than that. Some of the books and theological journals I have are from the 60s and 70s, and they were asking the question on this basis, why don't we interpret Babylon literally as we interpret everything else literally? So that's how that started. If you want to read a 10-page theological journal, I can copy it for you, but that's their main argument. It didn't have much to do with the Iraq War in the 90s. It started with saying, well, we take everything else literally, so why don't we take Babylon literally? And that's their argument. Also in Revelation 13 and Jeremiah 51, it says Babylon will never be rebuilt again. And then you argue, does that refer to the Old Testament times, never be rebuilt again, or does it refer to the same destruction that we're reading about? But after that, it will never be rebuilt again. Well, if you want to read more on what the capital city will be, that'd be all right. The main lesson is there will be a corrupt religious system in the end, whatever its city is its headquarters. It'll be corrupt, and politics and religion will go together. They will kill tribulational saints. They will demand that everyone worships the Antichrist. In the end, Rome will probably be the political capital. What will be the religious or economic capital? We'll have more questions on that. That depends whether you take Babylon as literal or Babylon as mystery or figurative. I do think that it might be best to think not just of a corrupt church, but of a corrupt religion, because it'll be all over the world and they will all have what we might call a new world religion. Not just churchianity that's corrupt, including that, but not just that. All kinds of false religions taken together with the whole point is to worship the state, worship the Antichrist. We must read on for now. But as I read, get this conclusion. The people of Satan kill the people of Satan. It's been this way a long time. But in the end, the Antichrist will kill the prostitute of religion. So any of these God's people? Not a single one. They will all kill each other. In the end, and also true, evil destroys evil. Satan will kill the people that worship Satan. So when we read about the end time dictator destroying the end time corrupt religious leaders, you have satanic followers killing satanic followers. And when we get to the close of chapter 17, as we read now, it will say God put it in their heart to do his purpose. Let's start reading in verse 8. We won't get to God put it in his heart till we get further down to verse 17, but let's start at verse 8. The beast that you saw was and is not is about to come up out of the abyss and go to destruction. And those who dwell on the earth, whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will wonder when they see the beast that he was and is not and will come. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. And there are seven kings. Five have fallen. One is. And I'm going to stress that. Who was the king in John's day? One is. Wouldn't it be a Roman emperor? One is. There has not yet come. And when he comes, he must remain a little while. The beast which was and is not is himself also an eighth and one of the seven, and he goes to destruction. Verse 12 interprets the picture of the end time beast. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings. We have not yet received the kingdom, but they will receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. These have one purpose, and they give their power and their authority to the beast. These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. He said to me, the waters which you saw, where the harlot sits, are the, now he had the word agitated, the agitated peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues, and the ten horns which you saw and the beast, these will hate the harlot and will make her desolate and naked and will eat her flesh and will burn her up with fire. Verse 17, why? Because God has put it in their hearts to execute his purpose by having a common purpose and by giving their kingdom to the beast until the words of God have been fulfilled. The woman whom you saw is a great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. So here in the end times, we begin in verse 8, there is also a beast. The harlot was a corrupted religion. The beast will be the end time ruler. And more on that, because there's a lot on that, but I'd like to talk a little bit about this book of life. Book of life. We are not going to be blotted out of the book of life. Revelation 3:5. He who overcomes will not be blotted out of the book of life. Believers will not be blotted out of the book of life. Also in Revelation 20, the book of life, if their names are not in the book of life, at the great white throne judgment, they will go to eternal punishment. So we who trust in Jesus as Savior, we're in the book of life and will not be blotted out. Now, regarding those that are not in the book of life, there are two issues. Are they in the book of life now, or when they die, it gets crossed out? So are they in it now, and when they die, they get crossed out, or were they never in it? These are never in it. And you could apply that to every unsaved person, but to be a little bit cautious, we say, those in the tribulation who follow the beast, they will never have been in the book of life. And I don't really know whether an unsaved person today has a potential and their name gets blotted out when they die without receiving Christ, or they're like these people, they never went in the first place. But these people will never be in it in the first place. There really is a curse in the Bible to the end time tribulation people that follow the Antichrist. is very, very deep. They were never in it. From eternity past, see, God foreknew, they made their own mistake, but God knew that they were going to follow the Antichrist, and they were never in the book of life. It is possible that today, an unsaved person is in it, but gets their waste when they die. You'll have to think more about that, but it's at least possible. These were never in it. I don't know whether you can apply this to every unsaved person now, but these, in the end time, the followers of the Antichrist, God foreknew they would follow the Antichrist, and they never got in it. A real special curse to them. With some mysteries, at least we can say we who believe are never blotted out. And I don't know for sure whether our names were always there or when we first believe, like the song goes. But we're not going to get blotted out. These Antichrist followers were never in it. A little more detail, verse 9, the seven mountains. I don't know what that means unless it's the seven hills of Rome. The ancient authors about Rome said it was the city on seven hills. Other than that, I don't know what it means. I do think Rome will be revived wherever you put Babylon. I do think that the people of the evil prince who are coming that destroyed the city, they are the Romans. I do think there'll be a revived Roman Empire. The seven mountains, that makes sense to say it's Rome, the city on seven hills. And in verse 10, I don't know who the kings are, except one is. One is in John's day. A little bit favor to a Roman Empire, because when John wrote this book, one of them is now ruling, and he was in the Roman Empire. 10 sub-kings, you see that in verse 12. If you believe in a revived Roman Empire, we'll have 10 sub-nations in it. Verse 14 is the most positive. When I work with Kim on picking the music, I say, well, we don't have any music on the end-time prostituted religion, that's for sure. So look at verse 14 and pick things about him being our king, being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Pick the positive. So that's why the hymns that we sang are positive. Verse 15 interprets the waters. The world is like an agitated ocean to God. They're always flopping this way and flopping that way, and they're in turmoil, and they're always mad, going back and forth. And again, the 10 horns, the kings, kill, 10 horns kill the prostituted religion. Now, unsaved people don't seem to know this, but Satan will kill them. He has no respect for loyalty. And in the end time, you have a corrupted political system killing a corrupted religious system that had just worshipped it and helped it. It doesn't have to make sense. Evil doesn't make sense. In the end, evil hates evil. Evil hates other evil people. An evil person will kill another evil person. In verse 17, in the end times, God said, well, I'm going to let Satan kill a whole bunch of them. That's verse 17. God has put it in their hearts to execute his purpose by having a common purpose. Well, it kind of makes sense. It's not that deep if we stop and think about it, but it's kind of twisted, but God uses evil to destroy evil. And Satan will have evil followers who will go with him to his punishment, but before they get there, Satan will kill some of his own evil followers. He has no loyalty to them. Evil does not have loyalty. Satan will kill evil people. And Satan will allow some of his evil people to kill other of the evil people. And you see that here where the false religious system being killed by the false political system. But it's before then, too. It always has been. When nation rises up against nation, how many of them are Christian nations? Zero. We have a pagan nation fighting a pagan nation. We have a nation in rebellion against God fighting another nation in rebellion against God. That's the first part of tribulation. And then the last part of tribulation, the evil government will kill the evil religion. And if it doesn't make any sense, that's because sin doesn't make any sense. It's irrational. It has no loyalty. And in the end, the evil Satan will kill some of the evil satanic followers. He just wants them dead. And God's attitude is, well, that's okay now. It's time. God will use Satan to destroy some of satanic followers. With that, we will save the end-time commercial city. Revelation 17 is an end-time false religion. Revelation 18 is an end-time commercial system, economic system. I think even though we might not know the city, whether Babylon is literal in the Middle East or Babylon also equals Rome, we might not know the city, but we do know that in the end there'll be a totally corrupt world religion. And everybody will have to follow that world religion or else. And the end time corrupt world religion will go right along with the end time corrupt world politics. They, as we say it, they will merge church and state. They will merge religion and politics. But in the end, Satan just kills his own. Because evil does not have to make sense. Revelation 17 concerned prostituted religious Babylon. Revelation 18 will concern economic Babylon next time. Let's pray together, please.